morning, everyone. It's time again for the Church of God radio broadcast. It's coming to you from God's Acres at 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. Here now is Brother Dishman to bring us another good message from God's eternal word.
Thank you, brother. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with us to the book of the Song of Solomon, the first chapter. Song of Solomon, the first chapter, verse number 6. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun had looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. I'd like to talk to you for a little while on the neglected vineyard. Every saved person here has a vineyard. We may not perceive that we are keeper of the vineyards, but there are responsibilities that we all have for our vineyards. First, we have the personal vineyard of our own soul. And that's every one of us, whether we're saved or lost. It is perhaps the most important vineyard of all to take care of, because the Bible says in the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, and verse number 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The care of the soul is very tedious and challenging process. It involves careful work of plowing and planting and cultivating, getting the weeds out. Then it also requires a harvest time. The care of the soul, my friend, it's not something that will be accomplished in one single attempt, but it's rather an ongoing process that is going to last as long as we're in this body. It's a process that could be called holiness or sanctification. The second vineyard I'd like to talk about, we have a responsibility for our families. We all have a responsibility for our families. It's one of the most challenging vineyards to take care of all times. The family is under attack of the devil since the very first family that we read about, Adam and Eve, back in the garden. Amen. The third vineyard that we'd like to speak about is to take care of the local congregation. If you've been converted, if you are a Christian, if you have experienced the new birth, you have a responsibility to help in the vineyard of the local congregation. Obviously, the pastor is the leader. Amen. He is the one that's in charge. But we also are workers together with God. Every one of us have a part to play. To take care of this vineyard of the church, we need to find four priorities, and we find them in the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter, and verse number 42, where he said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. You know, that sums up everything that we must do as the church of God. They were devoted to learning. What did they do? They learned the apostles' doctrine. Amen. They were devoted to fellowship. They loved each other, didn't they? They were devoted to worship. They gave themselves to prayer. All of these things work together. They serve as an excellent foundation for the early church to take off and accomplish incredible things for the Lord. And who could deny the fact, friend, they definitely did many wonderful things for God. But the utterance of this young lady, this vineyard keeper, is voicing a sorrowful confession, my friend, of how she really looked at her own vineyard. And she saw what a disarray her vineyard was in. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. They made me keeper of the vineyards, plural. But my own vineyard I have not kept. These haunting words are most challenging to all who are engaged in the service of the Lord. And I believe that these words should be read in conjunction with the book of Proverbs, the 24th chapter, and verse number 30 and 31. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. The vineyard is fruitless because it is all overgrown with weeds. The good seed that was once there has been choked out by the thorns and the nettles. Notice the seed was not sown in thorns, but the thorns were allowed to come up and take over. I wonder what weeds and thorns and nettles have we allowed to come up in our lives? Had there been any fruit there, it would have been eaten up by the beast of the fields, because he said that the fence or the wall had been broken down. Had there been any fruit, it would have been gone. Thorns and thistles don't need care. They come up on their own, don't they? Amen. Notice that the writer did not begin to condemn the owner of the field, but considered it and received instruction for himself. A wise man can even learn from the example of foolish men. Solomon realized the state of the slothful. It's not a hard state to fall in. Amen. The state that the lady speaks of, it's easy to fall into that state. They made me keepers of the vineyard. But when it comes to my own vineyard, I've fallen short. Amen. It takes nothing. A little neglect here. A little sleep, a little folding of the hands, and that's where we find ourselves. We haven't taken care of our own vineyard. Think about Solomon, a wise man. He saw this. He said, I received instruction. An instructor of others must always be open to instruction himself. It takes for a relationship to begin, all it takes is neglect, and it begins to run down. All it takes for a house, all it takes for a car, all it takes for a job is to suffer neglect. Most things that are precious to us require attention and care. Isn't that right? In this passage, it was previously a prosperous field, but now because of neglect, it's an unfruitful field, blessing no one whatsoever. Because of the unfruitfulness in the areas of our lives, including soul winning, ministering to our family, meeting the needs of others, the proverb also gives us a picture of a wall that had been broken down. We see the keeper of the vineyard had become neglectful. Amen. Valued sleep and leisure more than his treasure, and end up being robbed by his own level of vigilance. When the wall, my friend, gets torn down, neglect, there are boundaries that are erased and protection disappears. The erosion of the land can take place when the walls are removed. All of these conditions work against the production of a positive direction in our lives. Broken down walls are places where little foxes can get through and destroy the crop. It only took one season to do it, but one season was enough. Friend, walls of doctrine, principles, prayer, character, corporate worshiping, reading the Word of God are things that sustain our crop in our soul, our family, and in our congregations. The one who confesses her neglect in this passage was not neglectful of the other duties that she had, but of her own, keeping her own vineyard. Didn't say a thing about the other vineyards that she had been keeping, but it said her own vineyard she failed to keep. We as Christians, as servants of the Lord, are keepers of the Lord's vineyard. We've been saved, thank God, by the wonderful grace of God, and He's given every one of us a job to do. Every Christian is in the place of divine appointment. Notice the force of the words. They made me. The speaker had been made, compelled to keep the vineyard. Amen. The same is true of us. We didn't choose to serve the Lord. He chose us. The Bible says in John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Our vineyard is just where the Lord has placed us. Amen. If you're a mother, your vineyard is the home. If you're in business, your vineyard is in the office. If you're a soldier, your vineyard is the army. If you're in school, your vineyard is that school. If you're in college, your vineyard is that college. If you're a preacher, your vineyard is amongst the people whom the Lord has commissioned you to minister His word. What a privilege it is, saints of God, to be one of the Lord's keepers of the vineyard. But listen to me, immense danger faces us. Amen. You know what she said? My mother's sons, possibly stepbrothers, my mother's sons made me take care of the vineyard. Then follows the confession, but my own vineyard I have not kept. Consider and search your own heart about this. Have you been keeping your own vineyard? Amen. That's something for us to think about. How easy it is to serve the Lord zealously and be on the job all the time, but neglect our own inner life, our personal communion with the Lord Himself, the study of the Word of God, fellowship in that secret place. You know how they say, the painter's house always needs painted. The mechanic always needs to work on his own cars. How sadly possible it is for the preacher to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ, but fail to adorn the doctrine in his own personal and private life. How can we keep our own vineyards? I believe there's four simple requirements, and they're indicated in the Word of God. First of all, there's got to be some pruning. If you could kick the person most responsible for your troubles, you wouldn't be able to sit down for weeks, because we are our biggest problem. I say that children needs two pats on the back, one high enough to encourage them when they do right, one low enough to chastise them when they do wrong. Effective discipline requires knowing which end of the child we need to pat. Every Christian, without exception, faces both discipline and pruning. And every Christian, with no exception, eventually comes to understand the choice. You either live with the discipline of God, or you can live with the pruning of God. It's our choice. He talks about it in the book of St. John, the 15th chapter, and verse number 1, when he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth said that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. God will work with us, saints of God, wherever we are, to produce more God-designed fruit in our lives. That's what God wants out of every single Christian that's here. He wants every one of us to produce some more fruit. Amen. For the obedient follower of Christ, God knows through pruning, orchestrating our circumstances and our walk with Christ to produce even more fruit. Somebody said, but you don't realize how much fruit, Brother Ditchman, that I'm bringing forth. God still wants you to bring forth more fruit. Amen. God's discipline carries some wonderful benefits. If you receive God's discipline, you know you're in God's family. Amen. God's discipline is always for our own good. Amen. And God's discipline is always given in love. God's discipline turns us away from harmful things. God's discipline turns us away when we've started down the wrong path. Oh, the benefit of God's pruning is maturing. God wants us to mature. Amen. If you receive God's discipline, that means you know that you're in God's family. Hebrews 12 and verse number 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh to you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives. Amen. If you are a child of God, God's going to chasten you. Amen. If you're wondering if you're saved, look no farther than God's discipline, because he disciplines every single one of his children. I never gave one thought in my mind, well, why doesn't my dad correct other children? Because they wasn't his children. He only corrected his own children. God disciplines us, doesn't he? Amen. You don't know, amen, about your salvation? Is God disciplining you? How did Jesus put it in Revelation 3:19? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Punishment is handed out for a reason. Amen. The reason is to get us away from that that's harmful. God knows what's best for us. Someone says it's not that bad, but Hebrews 12, verse number 1 says, wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that was set before us. John 15:2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit. This simply refers to the things that need to be pruned away from our lives, dead branches which will never bear any fruit. Perhaps there's a dead branch in your life that needs to be cut off. That's what God's interested in. Would you ask the Lord to take it away, cut it off? There are a number of reasons, friend. We need some pruning. The pruning of these dead branches eliminates the diseases during the period of productivity. The wise keeper knows that he needs to burn these pruned branches for the most effective elimination of any parasites, any disease. The next thing is purging. The act of purging, removing, cleansing. To cut the branches back too much at the wrong time can do great damage to fruit bearing. One of the most important aspects of growing fruit of any kind is maintaining the branches. As norm, when growing grapes, you choose one main trunk runner and grow your produce from that trunk. If you cut the branch back too far the next year, you're not going to have but little, if any, fruit. If you cut the branch back at the wrong time, it'll cause it to bleed. The life-giving sap will just fall to the ground instead of producing fruit. Now listen to what he says. He talks about more fruit and much fruit. Let's read it. Verse number 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. What about verse number 5? I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So the word purgeth is in the present tense. Amen. A simple statement of fact, as purging has occurred, is occurring, and will occur. It is a never-ending process. As long as we're in this life, God's going to need to work on me. God's going to need to work on you. The song, The Little Children, says, he's still working on me. Let's let God work on us. Let's let God show us the things that are alive that's hindering the fruit. The process of purging. It's an important process. It's an unending process. It's an enduring process. 2 Peter 3:14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him at peace, without spot and without blemish. Notice what else he says over in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. What's he talking about? Pruning. What's he talking about? Purging. Amen. Do you hear what he said? Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Notice the way he put it in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Now listen to what he said. If a man therefore purge himself from these things. Some said, I'm just waiting on God. No, he said, if a man therefore purge himself from these things, what will happen? He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified meat for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, and follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. And if we're going to be used of God, there's got to be some pruning in our lives. There's got to be some purging in our lives. And before we can be used of God, we got to be usable. And that's what makes us usable. Then what about the provision? If the vineyard is to be kept in good order, there's got to be some nourishment. Amen. We got to work on the soil. We got to break up the fallow ground. Amen. We got to guard against some things. What about the weeds? We're going to have a watchful eye. Them old weeds and them thistles, them nettles and them briars. If they're not careful, they'll spring right up in our lives. Amen. Cultivation is the most effective way to accomplish this. Stirs up the soil and shaves off the roots just below the surface ground. There's got to be some protection. Got to watch out for the little foxes, don't we? Amen. That's something else the book of Proverbs talks about. Take ye the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Many of us, we're already against those large things. We know what them big things are. We're prepared as soon as they come along. But what about the little things, the little foxes? What did they do? They snuck in at night. They're just little things. They're cute. They're fuzzy. They're pretty little. They couldn't harm nothing. But you know what they do? They get in there and they eat them blooms. So there's going to be no grapes growing. God help us. Listen, saints, we can never lift others above the level of our own spiritual experience. It is therefore very sad as well as a very solemn thing to neglect our spiritual life. Maybe you failed the Lord in this area. How many times on our knees in prayer have we confessed the very same thing to the Lord? We've confessed about the faulty, shoddy spiritual work that's been accomplished because of the condition of our own soul. You've been zealous serving the Lord in the church, your home. You've sought to witness. But I ask you about your inner life. Do you need to make the confession? My own vineyard I have neglected. Friends, this salvation that we have is a precious, precious gift. The price Jesus paid for this great salvation, we cannot comprehend it. It deserves and requires our best attention. Every piece of ground will yield something, whether it's weeds, thorns, nettles, good fruit, good crops. The difference in these two outcomes rests solely on the keeper of the vineyard. And each one of us is responsible. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dishman, for those sound words of admonition. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We want to remind you of our periodical called The Gospel Trumpeter. If you would like to have an issue of that sent to your home each month at no cost, please give us a call at that same number, 345-1213. Or for any previous issues that you would like to have, please browse our website at godsacres.org. We invite you out to our services today. For transportation, you can call that same number, 740-345-1213. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school is at 9:30. Morning worship is at 10:45. Each evening at 5 o'clock, our youth services begin. Then at 6 o'clock is our evening worship service. This is Fred Barrows saying thank you for joining us here today. Hopefully this program has been a help and a blessing to each of you. Brother Decker would like to invite each of you to join us here again next week at this same time. So until then, may God bless you is our prayer.